and bill credit must switch number and activate service on at least $30 per month plan with activation fee up to $25. Bill credit requires two service payments within 45 days. Credit received within 60 days. Taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See store for details.
I mean, Miguel Montero sort of had a point, didn't he? 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, Studios.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
You really suck because, you know, like the stolen bases go with me. Mm-hmm. But when you really look at it, the pitcher doesn't give me any time. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, yeah, okay, maybe you can throw nobody out. Yeah, but my pitchers don't hold anybody on there.
He's right. He's also out of a job. Welcome in the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn and producer Kyle Mann, coming your way on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and all across eastern Iowa on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym frequency. That was the voice of now former Chicago Cubs catcher Miguel Montero after last night's loss in Washington, D.C. Montero with some pointed criticisms about starter Jake Arrieta, but it essentially carries over to the entire Cubs pitching staff when it comes to holding runners on. And less than half a day later, he finds himself designated for assignment and out of a job, while some of his teammates made a second trip to the White House in 4 months, where they ran into Iowa. I still want to call her Lieutenant Governor. She is the governor. Kim Reynolds was in Washington, D.C. at the White House for an energy conference and posted a picture on Twitter of her with Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, and Eddie Butler. All three guys spent a little time in Des Moines with the Iowa Cubs. We're talking more than just Cubs baseball today, of course. We'll have Cody Taylor from NBAInsiders.com with us in hour number two tonight. 5:30 is when Cody is scheduled to join us. Big news in the NBA today, not only with the New York Knicks and Phil Jackson deciding to part ways, but Chris Paul, who was originally going to opt out of his contract, has opted in with the Clippers so that they could trade him to the Houston Rockets in a deal that may or may not make Houston a legitimate threat to Golden State in the Western Conference. And that's actually our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. Is Houston now the top threat to Golden State in the Western Conference? Yes or no? Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. We've got a little Iowa wrestling news for you coming up in just a few minutes. The Hawkeyes, I guess you could call him a recommitment today. And Iowa women's basketball news, as well as some other things coming up on the big board, coming up at the bottom of the hour with Kyle Mann, our producer. Colonels played a noon game today at Veterans Memorial Stadium, lost again to the Burlington Bees today by the score of 5-2. Waterloo, however, in Northwoods League, play a winner 9-7 over Mankato. Alex, Miguel Montero may not have said the politically correct thing last night after the game was over, but he has a point, and I'm not going to sit here and defend him till I'm blue in the face, but Trey Turner said after the game that he wasn't running on the catcher. He wasn't paying any attention to what Montero was doing. He was running on Jake Arrieta. He was exploiting the pitcher, taking too much time. So, look, it's been an issue. Montero spoke up. He threw his teammate and teammates, because it wasn't just Arrieta, under the bus last night. And you can't condone that. This is a team that has struggled to live up to expectations this year. And then you add in a little bit of clubhouse drama on top of it. And remember, Montero was not exactly happy going into spring training about the role that he was going to play behind Wilson Contreras. Joe Maddon and him sat down for an Italian dinner, I believe it was, in Arizona, and sort of cleared the air. So this is not the first time that Miguel Montero has run afoul of Cubs management or somebody in that clubhouse. He spoke his mind. He wasn't necessarily wrong, but he also violated one of those unwritten rules of the clubhouse, which is you got to have your teammates' backs.
And he's also the backup catcher, which made him very expendable for the Chicago Cubs. And this is not a Joe Maddon thing. This is just a coaching thing in general, where guys that play lesser roles are made an example of more than guys who play bigger roles. So I think that's at play here, too, as to why he was designated for assignment. But I think there are two things to keep an eye on here. First of all, he's, like you said, he's exactly right. And this is not something that has just popped up overnight. This is something that has been culminating for the last 2 years. It wasn't a huge blip on the radar last year because they were winning. But this year, when a catcher continues to see guys stealing bases off of the pitcher instead of him, and it looks bad on him, then I understand the frustration. And I think there's a little bit of frustration just in general right now, because nobody's performing particularly well with the Chicago Cubs. This is a team that is by far the most talented team in the division, and the entire lineup is struggling for the most part. Everybody in that starting lineup is hitting either where they should be or a little bit below. Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo aren't performing up to their standards. And then in the starting rotation right now, none of those starters' numbers are where their career totals have shown that they could be. So there's a little bit of, you can sense a little bit of tension right now. And then with Joe Maddon seeing that this was kind of popping up, this is not, last year, there just seemed to be no issues. No issues in the clubhouse. This year with the Addison Russell thing, there have been a couple of distractions, and Joe Maddon took care of that very quickly.
Trey Turner had four of the stolen bases last night. Anthony Rendon, Michael Taylor, also with steals. And Montero essentially said, look, it's a stat that goes on the catcher, but it's not my fault that Jake Arrieta is slow to the plate. And you add into this, you've got a guy on the staff in John Lester, who, unless you're playing the Cardinals and Tim McCarver opens his mouth, can't pick a guy off first base to save his life. But he did it earlier this year. This has been an issue, as Montero said, going back to spring training. They talk about it and nothing comes of it. But he was going to be DFA'd at some point this summer, in my opinion, just because of the contract situation. And people may or may not be aware they inherited the contract when they brought him on board from Arizona. And look, I like to think of Miguel Montero and his contributions last year during the National League Championship Series, and that's how I'll remember his time as a member of the Cubs. Everything else, pretty forgettable. But I do think that he, along with David Ross, served as sort of a mentor to Wilson Contreras, and to a lesser extent in spring training, Victor Caratini, who comes up from the Iowa Cubs to presumably try to win that number two job long-term. Caratini acquired from the Atlanta Braves back in 2014 when Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer were trying to acquire whatever assets they could for the future. They traded James Russell and Emilio Bonifacio to the Braves for Caratini, who was in Class A at the time. And that's when I saw him come through the Midwest League with Kane County after he switched organizations. He's got a pretty good bat. He's okay defensively. He's not going to win you any gold gloves or anything. It looked for a while like he was going to be blocked by Kyle Schwarber and Wilson Contreras. Schwarber essentially is an outfielder now and back in AAA. And he's going to get an opportunity to come up, and we'll see where this goes. But the text line is saying, absolutely, you cannot throw your teammates under the bus. And that's what Montero did. As a matter of fact, if you haven't heard this, this is from CSN Chicago last night. Montero post game standing at his locker room at Nationals Park. It's about 2 minutes, and it's not just about the stolen bases here. He also throws Jake Arrieta under the bus for having control issues.
just kind of start out with the wrong foot too. Ground ball is sick, and the guy gets safe at first. Next thing you know, he's in third with no outs. They tie the game, and then it you know, kind of everything kind of got a little bit out of sync there. He wasn't really locating. He was, you know, and then we start thinking about we didn't get a couple calls, so should it be called strike or ball? It's a hard for umpire because if you ask me those pitches were a strike, I don't even know because, you know, when you're out of the strike zone for so much and then you throw one pitch in the strike zone, it's hard to judge. So I can't blame the umpire on a couple of pitches. It's just like, you know, he couldn't really locate the fastball.
Mm-hmm. How about Turner? How hard was it to stop him?
I don't know. Like, he just... It really sucked because, you know, like, the stolen bases go with me. Mm-hmm. But when you really look at it, the pitcher doesn't give me any time. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, yeah, okay, Miggy can throw nobody out. Yeah, but my pitchers don't hold anybody on it. So, yeah, he's tough because it doesn't matter how much work I put on and when I don't play it on full work, you know, throwing and everything because if I don't get a chance to throw it, I mean, that's the reason why they were running left and right today because they know he was slow to the plate. Simple as that. Yeah. So... Yeah, it's a shame that, you know, like, it's my fault because I didn't throw anybody out.
Yeah. Do you talk to Jake about that?
We talk every year in the spring training, but he's frustrated because seems to nobody really care about it. You know, like, okay, yeah, I got a pitch. If either run, they run. I don't care. But I mean, perfect example, we got Salvador Perez, the best throwing catcher in the game, and Jason Hamels got 10 stolen bases and only one caught stealing. So what would that tell you? They didn't give him a chance to throw nobody out. So he's tough.
Yeah, the numbers always go to the catcher.
Yeah,
always
go to the catcher. And I'm the bad guy there, you know. So he, like I say, really, he really sucked. But he's what it is. And got to take it for responsibility. But on the other hand, I would like a little help.
And I'm going to get help. In Chicago, if he gets a job somewhere else, he might have an opportunity. But I'm taking a look at the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Matt in Fairfax says, Arrieta only allowed 2 stolen bases before last night. Stop putting it all on him. Montero's 33, which is ancient for a catcher. He has the second worst rate of getting the ball off once he catches it too. Just really quickly, I'm not putting it all on Montero, or I'm not putting it all on Arrieta, but the success rate running against him is 83%, which is 11% higher than the league average this year, which is 72%. So he is slow to the plate. He is easy to run on. And you've got Trey Turner, who stole 4 bases last night. I wish I had the Trey Turner audio. I'd play it for you. Trey Turner said after the game, I wasn't even paying attention to the catcher. I was running on the pitcher.
This is something, and our producer Kyle Mann brought this up before the show. This is something that Miguel Montero has been stewing on for a long time. That he was able to bring up Jason Hamill's statistics in Kansas City as part of his of this has been a problem that he has been stewing on for a long time, and finally he just got it all off of his chest last night.
Hamill, who's a former Cub, yes, whom Montero caught last season in Chicago, the last couple seasons in Chicago. And look, you're absolutely right. There's a little bit of premeditation there. And this is a guy who, again, this isn't the first time that he's been the grumpy teammate, but I think everybody expected a little bit of a hangover from winning the World Series last year, but you see this with other teams and other sports in the past. This is not unusual because these guys spend an entire offseason doing the Ellen DeGeneres show and getting paid an obscene amount of money to sign autographs, and you get pulled in 1,000 different directions when you are a World Series champion or a Super Bowl champion, and then you try to come together in spring training and the team has a new look every year. This year they lost David Ross, who I don't care what people say about Dancing with the Stars and, oh, he's a third-string catcher and he carried John Lester's golf clubs. Look, there is something to be said, especially in baseball, where you play almost every single day with very few off days from April until essentially November if you get to the World Series and it goes seven games. There's something to be said about a veteran presence in the clubhouse. You got to have at least one or two of those guys. And David Ross was that guy. And then you had Dexter Fowler, who not only was the perfect fit in that lineup at the top of the lineup, but Dexter Fowler is sort of this easygoing, laid-back personality that was very popular with his teammates. You lose those two guys, and suddenly it's a little bit easier for a fly in the soup like Miguel Montero to cause a stir. Now, he also was asked about whether this team really missed David Ross. This was on Chicago radio today. And he made a comment that basically boiled down to, "Nah, I don't think so." And then he brought up Anthony Rizzo and said, "Yeah, maybe Rizzo." So this is definitely a disgruntled now former employee. There's no doubt about that. But the fact that it's June 28th and it took this long for something like this to happen in that clubhouse kind of surprises me. Because I would have thought the way that they got off to the rocky start, and they're still playing 500 baseball for the most part, they're not living up to expectations, I would have thought that there would have been some sort of drama before now. Some high-level drama. We've seen some knick-knack stuff here and there, but this is soap opera-level stuff, and it's good.
And I think that this kind of baseball would be the biggest area where you would miss a Dexter Fowler or a David Ross. Guys that would be able to help you get through poor streaks, help you get through losing streaks, help you kind of stay even keel even when you're not playing your best baseball. When you have a bunch of young guys in the clubhouse, I don't care how talented they are, it takes some time to learn how to fail. We talk about it all the time. So last year when they had that struggling streak after they got off to that 25-6 start, they were able to get out of it. They were able to stay even keel. And I think that had a lot to do with those veterans in the clubhouse. And when Miguel Montero is your veteran in the clubhouse and he is grumpy too, that kind of shows you that maybe this year that's where you miss those two and Dexter Fowler and David Ross the most.
Ryan from Walford on the text line wants to know a little bit about Victor Caratini. As we mentioned a couple minutes ago, he came over to the organization from the Braves in 2014. He joined Atlanta when they drafted him as a third baseman, and then they converted him and put him behind the plate. He's got a decent bat. He's not going to win any gold gloves behind the plate. And I don't think he's probably an everyday catcher at the major league level, but when you pair him with Wilson Contreras, suddenly you've got two catchers with decent bats, and he's going to be a step up. Obviously, he's almost a full decade younger than Miguel Montero is, so there's less wear and tear there. And I think this is going to be a positive move ultimately moving forward. Now, 0353 on the text line says the kicker is that Montero apologized to Arrieta and the organization for his comments, and he still got DFA'd, which is when you get bumped off the 40-man roster. You're out the door at that point. You lose your safety net. Yeah, he apologized, but I'm telling you, this was coming at some point this season because Montero really didn't serve a purpose, and they made that move a couple years ago. They brought on that contract. They were looking for the veteran catcher. They got it. And then David Ross comes on board. And this is all, in hindsight, the Cubs won the World Series last year. Yay. And that's sort of how I look at it. And Montero played a part in that. Now, as somebody on the text line pointed out, if you go back to 2015, the Mets had a field day against him in the postseason. So he's obviously not perfect, and at this point in his career, it's easy to sit here and say that he's past his prime, but at the end of the day, you can't violate the cardinal sin in the clubhouse, which is to essentially stab your teammates in the back while the microphones are running and the cameras are on.
Especially when with, like we talked about, without David Ross and Dexter Fowler, you were kind of looked at as someone who would, they would like to be a veteran leader. And when you stab your teammates in the back, especially after complaining about playing time and complaining about your role, that makes you very expendable. I'm surprised that that sense of reality never set in for Montero.
The funny thing is, when he got the contract, and we got to step aside and take a quick break here, but when he got the contract extension from Arizona, they talked about what a leader in the clubhouse he was and what a great teammate he was. And it's funny how over the course of time, as a guy sees he's getting older and his role is shifting, and again, he had to sit down with Joe Maddon in spring training and clear the air, because last year he wasn't too happy about Kyle Schwarber and Wilson Contreras looking like they were pushing him out from behind the plate. Now, I talked to Tommy Burch earlier today from the Des Moines Register, and a couple people were asking, does this alter what's going on with Kyle Schwarber, who played his second game with the iCubs last night? And Tommy says there are no plans right now to have Schwarber taking extra reps behind the plate. He's essentially an outfielder at this point. And I think everybody saw that coming. But don't think that this move opens up the door for Schwarber to come racing back. I think he had two hits last night, by the way. So he's still going to cool his heels in Des Moines for a little bit and hopefully get right. Now, Tommy says on Twitter earlier today, he talked to a couple people about Schwarber's swing, and it still looks like there's timing issues and something just isn't right. So this may be a little bit longer term fix than some people were hoping for. It's 4:26. We'll take a quick break so that we can try to stay on track today and hit all of our times. Cody Taylor from BasketballInsiders.com coming up in hour number two. Chris Emma from 670 The Score in Chicago will be with us in about 10 minutes. We'll talk Cubs and more with him, Bulls, Blackhawks, everything you want to know with Chris. Kyle will join us next for your first Big Board update of the day. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show after this.
For over 30 years, IT Solutions has been taking care of businesses' technology needs. Learn more at IneedMyComputersToWork.com.
Hey boss, is our computer network up and running yet?
No, they're still working on it.
It's been over 2 days. How much longer is it going
to
be?
I don't know. Everything seemed to be working fine, so I didn't think we needed to do anything. Then, when we lost all our files to that virus, I called some guy and he said our virus protection and backups weren't working correctly. He's still trying to get our files back.
I told you we needed to call IT Solutions before we had a problem.
I know.
The office where my brother works uses IT Solutions, and they aren't having any problems. My sister's business had a virus slip through, but they had all their files back in 30 minutes.
I wish that was us.
Well, since we can't get any work done around here, go to IneedMyComputersToWork.com now.
IT Solutions has been taking care of businesses' technology needs for over 30 years. Learn more at IneedMyComputersToWork.com before it's too late.
Toyota of Iowa City would like to invite you to stop in now and check out the amazing new 2017 Toyota RAV4, which offers exceptional versatility and is now available in a hybrid, which is rated at 34 miles per gallon in town. Toyota of Iowa City also has a huge selection of 2017 RAV4s, and right now, through July 5th, with qualifying credit, we are able to offer 0% financing for up to 72 months on all gas models or $2,000 customer cash. We also have available 0% financing for up to 60 months on all 2017 hybrid RAV4s or $1,500 customer cash. Toyota of Iowa City has available outstanding low lease and finance rates on most of our new Toyotas and a fantastic selection of models for you to choose from. Come on in before July 6th and let us make it easy for you to drive home in the new Toyota of your choice.
0% for 72 months is $1,389 per thousand borrowed, and for 60 months is $1,667 per thousand borrowed. Does not include $130 dealer documentation fee.
Mike and Mike on the Gym is presented by Hertzian and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets, downtown Iowa City. Stop in and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
4:29, welcome back. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on KGYM 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. We're going to be there on Friday for the KGYM road trip. Join us at the Coach's Corner, 749 Mormon Truck Boulevard. That road trip, of course, driven by our friends at Linder Tire. Check them out online, lindertire.com. 107.5 FM, the North Gym, where you can catch Minnesota Twins baseball all summer long. Twins making a couple roster moves today. Craig Breslow going on the disabled list and Phil Hughes coming off. And all across Eastern Iowa on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. Kyle is with us in the studio, furiously cracking his knuckles. That means he's ready for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Your first of the day, Midwest One, where you're the one.
It was announced earlier today that the Iowa women's basketball team will be playing Florida State for their matchup in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. And that game's going to be played in Iowa City on Wednesday, November 29th. Iowa returns four starters from a team that went 20-14 and appeared in the women's NIT a year ago. But the Seminoles finished ranked 7th in the NCAA after going 28-7 and advancing to the Elite Eight. The Colonels lost 6-2 to the Burlington Bees for the second game in a row last night and had a quick turnaround for a noon game today. Eduardo Del Rosario started for the Colonels and surrendered 5 runs in 5 1/3 innings, and that's all the Bees needed to cruise to a 5-2 victory this afternoon. The Colonels will try to avoid a 4-game sweep in the finale tomorrow night at 6:35. This week's Area Softball Super 10 rankings were released by the Gazette today, with Cedar Rapids Jefferson sitting on top. Last night, the Jayhawks belted 5 home runs in a sweep of City High, giving the team an all-time state record 59 home runs on the season. Kennedy follows ranked 2nd, with Benton 4th, Berry 5th, Linmar 6th, and Iowa City West 7th. The Twins fell to the Red Sox last night 9-2 in Boston, but still have 2 games left to go in the 4-game series. They're back on the mound tonight with Adalberto Mejia throwing for the Twins and struggling reigning Cy Young winner Rick Porcello for the Red Sox. They're set to get started at 6:10, and we'll join that game in progress after our show on 107.5 The North Gym.
Thank you, Kyle. Chris Emma, 670, The Score in Chicago, joining us coming up in just a few minutes here at the bottom of the hour. We promised you a little Iowa wrestling news as well. Tom Brands getting a commitment today from Justin Mejia, a 4-time state champ in California. And if that name sounds familiar, if you're an Iowa wrestling fan, it should, because Mejia was originally headed to Iowa, then decommitted, ultimately committed to the University of Illinois, and were it not for an error on his transcript, probably would be wrestling for the Fighting Illini, but never made it onto campus at Illinois, and now has committed to join the Hawkeyes once again. He will most likely be a 133-pounder at the collegiate level. So Justin Mejia in the fold for the Iowa wrestling program, and Tom Brands continues to try to rebuild that program and make a run at Cale Sanderson and the Penn State Nittany Lions. It's going to be fun to watch in the coming years. Got a good final 2.5 hours for you here, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Stick with us. Plenty more to come. We'll talk NBA action in hour number 2. Phil Jackson out in New York, and Chris Paul opting in with the Clippers and then traded to the Houston Rockets. It's part of our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. Make sure you stop by and give us a vote. Chris Emma from 670 The Score in Chicago joins us next here on KGYM.
Business is all about having the right connections. And with American Airlines' nonstop flight to Charlotte, North Carolina, from the Eastern Iowa Airport, you have more than 600. Whether you need to get to a meeting in Washington, D.C., or a conference in Paris, flying nonstop to American Airlines' second largest hub will get you there. And with 2 daily flights, you'll get there and back when you need to. Connect for business at the Eastern Iowa Airport. More seats, more flights, more options. Book tickets now at flycid.com.
The ball explodes off your club face like a rocket. It flies across the beautiful blue sky and nestles right next to the pin. That's what keeps us all coming back. Hey folks, Dave Austed here. Hardly any of us are going to make the pro tour, but we always have that itch to play because of that one shot. At Austed's Golf, we love the game as much as you do. Golf Digest just selected Austed's Golf one of the top fitters in the nation. Find out why. Go online at austeds.com or visit your local Austed's to schedule your personal club fitting. Your one shot is waiting. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Kevin Winter. The trade is official. The Houston Rockets have just announced by general manager Daryl Morey that the team has acquired point guard Chris Paul for the Los Angeles Clippers in exchange for an entire haul, including a couple of non-guaranteed contracts. Bottom line, Patrick Beverley, Sam Decker, Montrezl Harrell, Darren Hillard, DeAndre Liggins, Lou Williams, Kyle Wilcher. They're all going to Los Angeles to the Clippers along with a future first-round pick. It's top three protected next season. The story was first reported by The Vertical. But one question remains. Why would this happen for Chris Paul? ESPN's Michael Eaves reported earlier today that CP3 is gone in part because his relationship with head coach Doc Rivers deteriorated rapidly after the Clippers acquired Doc's son, Austin. This news came on the heels of the New York Knicks mutually agreeing to part ways with Phil Jackson as president of basketball operations after 3 years. Afternoon baseball, Rockies trying to snap a seven-game slide. Tied with the Giants, 3-3, top of the sixth at AT&T.
Want an easy way to see if you could save money on car insurance? GEICO gives you three. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the GEICO office nearest you. Three ways you could save 15% or more.
Just announced. During the Ford Summer Sales event, get a Ford F-150 with 0% financing for 60 months, plus an additional $1,000 on top of your trade-in. It's summer's hottest deal on the award-winning built Ford Tough F-150. Take on summer right with Ford, America's best-selling brand. And save big on the Ford F-150. Get 0% financing for 60 months, plus $1,000 on top of your trade-in. Hurry into the summer sales event, going on now only at your Ford dealer. Best-selling based on 2016 sales. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 60 months at $1,667 per month per $1,000 financed regardless of down payment. Trade Assist Cash requires trade-in of 95 or newer vehicle or lease terminated 30 days prior to or 90 days after delivery. Not available on Raptor. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details. Take new delivery from dealer stock by July 5th, 2017.
When you're hiring for a growing business, you don't need lots of candidates. You need the right candidates. You need Indeed.com. With an algorithm that positions your job post where quality candidates are and screener questions that help you zero in on the best talent. Indeed.com, the site proven through an independent study to deliver five times more hires than any other. New users claim your $50 credit for a sponsored job at Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
4:37, welcome back into the Todd Brolkamp Show here on KGYM. Alex Kuhn along with me, Kyle Mann, our producer on the other side of the glass, hoping to hear from you today, expecting to hear from you today, because we've got a lot of stuff to unpack. 319-366-1600. Looks like the prospect of some severe weather in the area tonight. We'll keep an eye on the thunderstorm watches and warnings as they start to pour in before 7 o'clock, and we'll keep you up to date on that as well. Don't forget, vote in the Emil's Hideaway poll question at KGYMradio.com today. It has to do with the Chris Paul news. We're going to get to some NBA talk coming up, but first we'll talk with Chris Emma from 670 The Score in Chicago, a frequent guest on the program. And Chris, was today supposed to be your day off? Did I hear that right?
Yeah, today was supposed to be a day off, but you never know what's going to happen in the world of Chicago sports.
Well, Miguel Montero happened last night. What was your initial reaction when you heard him essentially not only throw Jake Arrieta under the bus, but it's almost the entire pitching staff?
I can't say I was too surprised just from getting to know Miguel, because he's always been outspoken. For example, you know, 2 years ago, he was the one leading the charge of "We are good." That was the kind of their rallying cry, and he was the one, the vocal inspiration. Now he's the one coming out unspoken against the windup and the motion of Jake Arrieta.
Is there any indication that there might be a little bit of tension in the clubhouse, or is Miguel Montero an outlier? Well, it looks like we lost Chris. We'll try to get him on here in a second. I'll get Kyle back to call Chris back.
We'll figure out what's going on here, and hopefully Chris can rejoin us. But yeah, scheduled day off, and the next thing you know, he's got a little bit of work to do. Unfortunate situation there with the losing Chris right out of the gate. I apologize for that, even though I don't really have anything to do with that. But if you're just joining us, we're talking a little bit about Miguel Montero and the comments that he made last night. Now, out of a job, his tenure with the Chicago Cubs over. and they'll turn things over officially to Wilson Contreras and perhaps Victor Caratini behind the plate moving forward. And if he doesn't work out, they'll come up with something else. Maybe David Ross can come out of retirement. That's not an option, by the way. I'm being facetious.
This goes against our stats, but it's the phones. It's the phones.
Is this a Miguel Montero moment here? Careful. I don't want you to get DFA'd.
Oh, well, I think that's probably going to happen
anyway. I didn't get a chance to tell you this. I walked past the boss's office earlier today, and I heard a string of profanities coming out of the office, and it was a familiar string of profanities. He was watching a Wally Backman video on YouTube, and I don't know why. I never got the full story out of him. I think we've got Chris back with us. Alex, you were asking him a question.
Yeah, Chris, before we lost you, I was asking you, is there any worry that there's a little bit of tension in the clubhouse, or is Miguel Montero an outlier in this situation?
I think Miguel is kind of the lone man on this one. You know, it's a very tight-knit clubhouse. It's a group of guys that well-connected throughout the last few years of working together, starting in 2015 when this group kind of came together. Miguel was kind of speaking for the Miguel brand, and when he came out to the media last night and said that the issues of trying to throw out Trey Turner and the Nationals runners were because of Jake Arrieta, he was speaking on behalf of Miguel Montero. You know, if he really wanted to handle that positively and constructively, he would have gone to Joe Maddon and say, I don't think this is a good match. I think I'm a liability with this guy, to be honest. Or he could have even gone to Jake Arrieta and said, let's work on some quick pitches or something along those lines. So Miguel Montero went straight to the media, handled this poorly. Because of that, he put himself on his own boat, and that boat just got sent away.
Are you a little surprised that it took until June 28th, given the way that this team was sort of seesawing up and down all year, for a story like this to hit the airwaves?
Miguel is kind of an interesting guy. Like I said, he's never afraid to speak his mind. I spoke with him last week about the issue with that ruling at the plate, the Anthony Rizzo and Austin Hedges collision, and I was really kind of surprised that he came out so strong against the rule that protects catchers, and he had multiple profanities, and I'm kind of looking like, he knows I'm interviewing him, right? And he just kept going and going, and, you know, he doesn't hold anything back. So I think the reason he was DFA'd today is because what he says and the way that he acts is not really a reflection of the ball club, and it's a team that's really trying to avoid distractions and find its best foot forward. Maybe if you want to look at this in some semblance of a positive, it's one of those things that kind of rallies people. Those weird things happen over the course of a long season. Miguel has been playing well this year so far. So as far as odd storylines, you know, obviously it's one of the odder ones we've had in a while in Chicago, and especially with a Cubs team that's so well kept together. So they'll move forward with this fairly calmly, and I don't really see any more distractions coming.
A lot of people are making a lot about the leadoff spot, and especially with Kyle Schwarber being sent down, but pretty much everybody in the starting lineup right now is underperforming and in the starting rotation. Are fans starting to get a little antsy, or is there still that they'll eventually bust out of it approach with as far as it comes to the fans?
Yeah, it's interesting because you do have a lot of individuals that are playing below their level. I mean, even somebody like a Rizzo or a Bryant, you expect a little bit more of, but then there's the aspect of a Schwarber who's in Des Moines right now trying to work through his struggles, and Addison Russell's that's playing well below what we've come to expect. You can go all down the line, of course. Then you get to the pitching staff, and Arrieta hasn't looked anything like the Arrieta of the last few years. Lester's been on and off at times. Hendricks is dealing with the injuries. So ultimately, you know, some of these things are going to work themselves out, some of these variables with, you know, some accomplished players like that. I mean, Rizzo and Bryant, you expect that certain level. I think Zobrist is going to come back and produce once his wrist is healed up. But then there are the larger issues, as you mentioned, of the leadoff spot is a major concern because it's reeking of desperation when you're plugging Anthony Rizzo there every game or Wilson Contreras. They've really just been kind of desperately trying to patchwork together a quality lineup. Same with the rotation issues at the bottom end. Eddie Butler is somebody where you're just hoping to get five clean innings and a chance to win. So this team does not have its World Series form of last year by any means. And it starts with that leadoff spot, and then you go through the bottom end of the rotation. They need to find a solution at that leadoff spot, somebody through the trade market. And in the pitching market, I'd be looking for a long-term guy and maybe even a stopgap as well to fill that 4 and 5 spot and lengthen your rotation a little bit because things aren't working out right now.
Chris Emma from 670 The Score in Chicago joining us. We move from baseball to basketball. We haven't talked to you since the draft and Jimmy Butler reuniting with Tom Thibodeau in Minneapolis. The Bulls and specifically the front office are taking some heat over how they've handled this situation. What's your take on whether or not this organization can right the ship and win back the confidence of the fan base? Because it seems to me it's eroding.
Yeah, well, when it comes to these Bulls, I mean, I think they made the right move of parting ways with Jimmy Butler. I don't quite love the return because they took a guy, Chris Dunn, who had a really, quite frankly, a bad first year in the league, a guy they were really high on a year ago, but resisted that Jimmy Butler trade because for whatever reason they weren't feeling it. Now they go for Chris Dunn after a tough rookie year. Zach LaVine coming off an ACL injury. They go out and get Lauri Markkanen, who seems to have all the potential there that you want out of a forward. I just don't know if these are the right pieces with which to build. And then, of course, the kicker for to me was giving up the 16th pick as well. I just thought that was entirely unnecessary. And really, I thought that Gar Foreman and John Paxson were fooled with that one by Tom Thibodeau. I mean, Tom Thibodeau is the biggest winner of this thing, where he gets the complete piece in Jimmy Butler to a franchise that seems to be up and up there in Minnesota. Tom Thibodeau is the big winner, and I think the Bulls, while they do have a direction, that's the positive to take of it. They took a major step back in terms of overall team talent and value.
I was chatting with one of my really good friends who's a Bulls fan, and he was talking about the fact that he liked the fact that they went and they're going to go with the youth movement. But between Fred Hoiberg, Gar Foreman, and John Paxson, are the right people in place to kind of develop these young guys?
That's the million-dollar question. I mean, really, you're looking at Fred Hoiberg, an unproven NBA coach, and I don't even know if you really count on him to develop these young guys. I mean, you know, he's done it at the college level, but that's entirely different. And that brings up a separate issue of how do you evaluate Fred Hoiberg as a coach in the next few years? He's got 3 years left on his 5-year deal, and you can't judge it by wins and losses now, but if these players aren't working out, do you blame that on Fred Hoiberg? Do you blame that on the executives who brought these guys in? When you look at the executives, do you trust those guys to lead this process? Absolutely not, because there's nothing proven and trustworthy about Gar Foreman and John Paxson. These guys put down lies upon lies when they build this thing. We've seen it the last few years. Anything to, you know, hide something under the rug or whatever it may be, there's not much to trust about these guys, and in Chicago, quite honestly, there's not been a lot to like about these guys. So there's very little faith in them leading this process just because of the way that they've operated for the last better part of a decade plus. And then when you look at Fred Hoiberg, there's just not really much to trust because nobody knows if he's an NBA coach. So the faith is going to be dwindling. You're really relying on players with some risk involved to develop into something that you can deal with, and I have very little trust in this process. The only trust that I have is that there actually is a process for once, and they're moving forward with younger players.
Chris Emma from 670 The Score in Chicago joining us for just a couple more minutes. Hard to believe, but less than a month from now, you guys will be in Bourbonnais at the opening of Bears camp. How are they looking right now?
I'm sorry, I missed that one.
I was asking you, less than a month away from the start of training camp for the Chicago Bears, what's the latest out of Halas Hall?
Yeah, all of quiet for now. Of course, are the players off in their their 6-week slumber? God, 4 weeks from today now that you got me thinking about it is the day they report. First practice is 4 weeks from tomorrow. They take the pads for that weekend to follow. Right now is what you hear from John Fox and coaches around the league. Is he just hope their phone's not ringing because that means somebody's in trouble right now. But all is quiet for the Bears. It's going to be very interesting once they get to Bourbonnais because you look across this roster, man, and there's just a ton of competition that's going to take place. I mean, obviously the quarterback's going to get all the eyes with Mike Glennon, Mitchell Trubisky, Mark Sanchez, Connor Shaw. But that receiver position has a lot of question marks and roles to be defined. Tight end, same thing there with Adam Shaheen, Zach Miller, Daniel Brown, Deion Sims. The offensive line seems fairly set, but the defensive side of the ball, rotation up front on the defensive line, linebacker. You're going to be looking to see what Danny Trevathan can do if he's able to get back for camp. Obviously, there are a lot of reps to define on that outside linebacker position. And then I look at the secondary when I start evaluating this team, and they didn't get great players, but they got players that are well above what they had last year in terms of overall talent. So I think this defense is going to be overall very much improved. I think the offense is going to be a work in progress as they try to fill roles and define, you know, who's doing what with this overall thing. But I think the Bears are going to be an improved product when they finish up with training camp. There's just a lot to accomplish in training camp.
Chris, you were on the south side of Chicago this weekend, and you wrote a piece about how this franchise is sort of starting to realize what this season is becoming, and it's the first step in a big-time rebuild. My question for you is, how is first-year manager Rick Renteria kind of handling that?
Not well, to be honest. You know, he understands what he is getting into because he knows the young players are coming, but Ricky is such a fiery guy. I mean, he's so passionate, so optimistic, and it's tough on a guy who really, he understands what he's in for, but he also really wants to win. And he's got veteran players that he really trusts and likes. He's got a team that he really believes in, even though you know from the outside looking in, Rick Hahn will tell you the same thing, that they're rebuilding. I mean, they're going to be trading a Todd Frazier soon. They're going to be looking to trade Jose Quintana, David Robertson. There goes your closer down the road. So soon enough, they're going to be ridding the pieces that Renteria is trying to build with right now and get the most out of. You see the fire coming out in the ejections. He had two very strong ejections last weekend. But the White Sox are looking like a rebuilding team right now in the first year of that rebuild. And it's only going to get worse. You know, they have the worst record in the American League right now. And really, it's only going to become worse and worse as you get rid of these veteran pieces. So this is what rebuilding looks like, but ultimately you're going to get your Yoan Moncada's going to be coming up. Zach Collins needs a few years to develop, but I'm excited to see what he looks like in that lineup. Luis Rivera, of course, the big pickup from Cuba, excellent addition. I'm really excited to see how Jake Berger develops through the big leagues, or through the minor leagues to the big leagues as well. So they got some great young pieces in the lineup. Of course, the pitching staff and the pitching depth, you can probably go 8, 9, 10 deep in terms of really intriguing pitching prospects. The White Sox have a really promising future ahead. As for 2017, I don't know if they're going to break 70 wins.
Chris, we appreciate the time as always. Hopefully they'll let you make up that day off somewhere down the line. Don't get fired. Don't get fired. Don't get fired.
Or DFA'd.
It's 4:52. I'm going to take a minute or two to collect my thoughts. I may or may not still be on the air when we come back after this.
The technicians at Firestone Complete Auto Care know when a tuned-up motor meets a new set of tires, the road better buckle up. Right now at Firestone Complete Auto Care, get $60 by mail on a Visa prepaid card when you buy a set of four eligible Firestone tires. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Offer valid May 4th through July 9th. Prepaid card is issued by the Bancorp Bank pursuant to a license from Visa USA Inc. and can be used everywhere Visa debit cards are accepted. The Bancorp Bank member FDIC expiration applies.
I'm concerned about our computers. I keep hearing stories about viruses holding files hostage.
My brother's office hasn't had any issues. They work with IT solutions. You can find them at IneedMyComputersToWork.com.
IT solutions?
Yeah, they have affordable, custom, managed monthly care for businesses like ours.
How does it work?
Think of it like taking care of your teeth. You wouldn't wait until something goes wrong and then try and find a random dentist, right?
No.
Exactly. Their multi-level protection includes virus protection on workstations and servers, virus filters at your internet connection, keeping security patches up to date, and installing custom protection developed by IT solutions that no one else has. They also back up your data locally, so recovery is fast and easy.
Wow, all that for a low, affordable monthly fee and a plan that's customized just for us?
Yes, that's what IT Solutions has been doing for over 30 years. Go to IneedMyComputersToWork.com for more info.
Well, I've got a few minutes before our meeting. I'll go to IneedMyComputersToWork.com right now.
All right, guys, from the top again.
Take me out to the Twins game.
Tommy, that's not the song, man. Again.
Take me out of this garage.
Come on, man.
Cold drafts, root beers, nacho chips, and cheese. Girls to meet and a nice cool breeze.
Come on, dudes. Target Field.
Yes. Yeah, let's go.
Change up your summer with the Minnesota Twins. For tickets, go to twinsbaseball.com.
The KGYM Road Trip comes to you live with the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. It's your chance to hang out while we're broadcasting and get your hands on some swag from the gym and other prizes. Want to know when it's happening? Find the road trip schedule at kgymradio.com. The KGYM Road Trip, live from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub, Mormon Trek Boulevard in Iowa City, driven by Linder Tire Service. Linder Tire keeps you rolling during all your road trips this summer. Visit lindertire.com for great tire and service specials.
Time for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Kyle Mann, Midwest One, where you're the one.
It was announced earlier today that the Iowa women's basketball team will be playing Florida State for their matchup in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. And that game is going to be played in Iowa City on Wednesday, November 29th. Iowa returns four starters from a team that went 20 and 14 and appeared in the women's NIT a year ago. But the Seminoles finished ranked 7th in the NCAA after going 28-7 and advancing to the Elite Eight. The Colonels lost 6-2 to the Burlington Bees for the second game in a row last night and had a quick turnaround for a noon game today. Eduardo Del Rosario started for the Colonels and surrendered 5 runs in 5 1/3 innings, and that's all the Bees needed to cruise to a 5-2 victory. The Colonels will try to avoid a 4-game sweep in the finale tomorrow night at 6:35. This week's Area Softball Super 10 rankings were released by the Gazette today, with Cedar Rapids Jefferson sitting on top. Last night, the Jayhawks belted 5 home runs in a sweep of City High, giving the team an all-time state record of 59 home runs on the season. Kennedy follows ranked 2nd with Benton 4th, Prairie 5th, Linmar 6th, and Iowa City West 7th. The Twins fell to the Red Sox last night 9-2 in Boston, but still have 2 games left to go in the 4-game series. They're back on the diamond tonight with Adalberto Mejia throwing for the Twins and struggling reigning Cy Young winner Rick Porcello for the Red Sox. They're set to get started at 6:10, and we'll join that game in progress after our show on 107.5 FM, The North Gym.
I think what's interesting in our time with Chris, and I think a lot of people, especially a lot of Bulls fans, are on the same page when breaking down that trade, when looking to the future and thinking, you know what, at least they have some young players to build around, some young players that have the potential to be something good. But I think a lot of people question whether they have anyone in place to develop those young guys. And I hear people talk about, well, okay, Gar Forman, John Paxson were there when they drafted Derrick Rose. But you look back, other than getting lucky with Derrick Rose, other than their ping pong balls bouncing their way, it has been a big-time struggle in Chicago for that franchise.
Lots of NBA news to unpack in hour number two. We'll do so with Cody Taylor from BasketballInsiders.com. Cody, who continually drops off every time that we have him on the program. It should be a real absolute treat to try to get him connected in hour number two. Phil Jackson out with the Knicks, and Chris Paul on the move to Houston. That's the poll question today, KGYMradio.com. Make sure you vote early and vote often. Hour number two after this.
Progressive presents Mind Flowness with Flo.
You are in the middle of the ocean on a raft, finding coverage options that fit your budget. As you listen to the ebb and flow of the tide, your budget, the ebb, our coverage, the flow. Why tetherball isn't considered a real sport? Unknown.
Be at one with your budget with the Name Your Price tool. Visit progressive.com today. Progressive